Good morning. This morning we're going to wrap up the series in Galatians. I hope you got as much out of it as I have. It's one thing I like about teaching and preaching is it forces me to dig and I learn. And that's something I've always enjoyed about teaching. Paul had a problem come up in the church. Some people went down and told them, the Gentiles, unless you're circumcised and obey the law of Moses, you can't be saved. So, you know, Jesus wasn't enough. And this didn't just happen in Galatians. If you ever read the book of Romans, that's a refute to that kind of teaching. Paul wrote 13 different epistles, and just about every one of them, in one way or another, he addresses these issues. Well, something that came out of what Paul had taught was the theological term is antinomianism, and it means against the law. And what they taught was since there was no law, you remember Paul said the law came to make sin more sinful, and he said when there was no law, God didn't impute sin because there wasn't a law. Then he gave the law, and he said the whole world became guilty, and sin was imputed or counted against you because you broke God's law. Well, some taught, well, since we're not under God's law, it doesn't matter how we live because God won't count our sin against us. And sadly, there's still churches today that teach that. And I disagree wholeheartedly. And I've debated some of the ministers and people in the churches, and I try not to debate, but to me that is not a scriptural doctrine. I've heard people say, well, all of our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. Yes, our sins are forgiven, but it doesn't give us license to sin, and that's what Paul has to deal with today. It seems like he's been arguing this point against law, and now he's brought up to the question, well, then does it matter how we live? So that's what is in our text today. I call it life in the Spirit because he talks about the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer. It's out of Galatians 5, verses 13 through 26. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Father, I thank you for your word. I know that it is the truth. I thank you, Lord, that you have placed the Spirit of truth within your people. You have written your law upon our hearts. You instruct us how we are to live, Lord, how we are to please you, and how we're to be righteous before you according to your righteousness, Lord, not what we think it is. I thank you for all who could be here today. I pray for those who could not, for whatever the reason. Lord Jesus, open our eyes to your word. Holy Spirit, take me over, and you do the teaching. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, "The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." If you remember that story, she tried to get a debate going. She said, "We worship on Mount Gerizim, you guys worship in Jerusalem, and you're telling us we're wrong, and we're telling you you're wrong." I mean, in essence, that's what she was doing. And Jesus said, "No, that doesn't matter. Where you worship doesn't matter." He said, "That's not the issue." He said, "The issue is anything we can offer God in the flesh." Now, I'm reading into this, but bear with me. She was talking about religion, and Jesus was saying, anything you and I can offer in the flesh is not acceptable to God. It will not save you. He said, God is spirit, and you must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God ordained that from the very beginning. And in this dispensation that we live in, God has provided for that. You remember the law? All the law could do is condemn you. The law couldn't save you. So Jesus told this woman this, and she said, "Well, I know that when the Messiah comes," and Jesus said, "I am the Messiah." And if you remember, he stayed in Samaria 2 days teaching, and it said many of the people believed in him. Jesus said to the Jews, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." There again, they based their salvation, their righteousness, on the works of the law, keeping the law. Jesus said, "That is of no avail to you." Now we know, we've read in the scriptures, that you can keep all the law and break one point and you're guilty of the whole law. The law was given to make sin sinful. The Bible says it was given so that the world's mouth might be shut and we might all become guilty. It took away excuses. And yet there are still people today who insist on some form of legalism or another to make us right in the eyes of God, and I'm here to tell you it does not work. You remember, God gave Abraham the covenant by promise. Promise depends on one. God said, "This is what I'm going to do," and he said, "I swear by myself, this is what I'm going to do." Praise God. He didn't base it on your merits. He didn't base it on my merits, because if he did, none of us would get to heaven. Not one of us. I don't care how good you think you are. If your biggest sin was kicking the cat, you needed Jesus Christ to die for you. He had to go to the cross and shed his blood for our sin. And as I said, when Paul was teaching against law, as people do, there were some that said, "Oh, well, then if we're not under the law and God doesn't count our sin against us, it doesn't matter how we live. We're still going to heaven." I had an elder's wife tell me that one time in a church that Judy and I was in. She took it upon herself to teach us scripture. So, you know, we went to her Bible studies. And she said, "Look, if you are a drunkard and a homosexual and you get saved and then you go back to that, if you really got saved, you won't go back. But if you do, okay, you'll still go to heaven, but you'll lose your reward." I said, "What book are you reading?" "Well, I'm reading the Holy Bible." I said, "You read it, but you don't understand it." That's a bald-faced lie. She didn't like that. She said the Bible studies were over. I don't have that filter, people. I'm not boasting. I just don't. That hit me wrong, and I said, "That's a lie. What you're teaching, shame on you. You're supposed to be teaching truth." When I was in the Pentecostal church, when we talked about worshiping in spirit, well, that means in tongues. It doesn't say that in the Bible. You won't find that in the Bible. Tongues is a gift of the Spirit. Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? That's what he will produce in every believer who will obey and follow him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit produces that fruit. But you know what it takes on my part? Meekness. I have to see me the way God sees me. I have to realize I'm not some good old boy. I am a wretched, vile sinner who God saved according to his grace and his mercy because I called out to him. You see, you can't be saved till you line up with God. You won't bear fruit of the Holy Spirit until you line up with God. And that takes humility on your part. you have to say, you're right, God, I don't have anything to offer you. I'm not a good person. Now, I told you, I left the Nazarene denomination, broke my heart because I loved them and I thought I'd be there the rest of my life over the sin nature. Because if there is a nature of sin, then God created it, and that makes God the original sinner, as far as I'm concerned. God did not create a nature of sin. Man became sinful, the Bible says. We became sinful. And Paul here, talking to the church, he's saying, you can't continue in the fleshly nature and assume you're going to heaven. I call it the fleshly nature. Some call it the nature of sin, the fallen nature. A lot of terms, but in essence, Paul is saying, if you think you can continue in your own power and your own strength, and you condone the things you used to do, in other words, you turn your back on God's commands and go, I don't think that's sin, God. It's not sin for me. I don't do what everybody else is doing. Paul said, you're not going to enter heaven. That's what he's saying to these people. And the Greeks were very immoral. And a lot of these Greek Christians had come out of Greek philosophy, which taught, one school of Greek philosophy taught, it doesn't matter what you do, your spirit's pure, your body's wicked, and your sins won't be held against you. Because your spirit's pure, when you die, you'll get absorbed into wherever it was the Greeks believed you came. That carried into the church. There are Greeks in the church saying, yeah, Paul's right, it doesn't matter how we live. Paul said, no, that's not what I said. Okay, a lot of people do that. Well, it doesn't matter how you live. It sure does. Yeah, but we're not under the law. Nope. Well, then what? How does that work? You know, people say, that's kind of confusing. If we're not under the law, how come it matters how we live? Because God's holy. And God hates sin. And I'm going to tell you what, until you and I learn to hate it as much as he does, there's no hope for us. We won't repent. We'll hang on to our sin. And this is what Paul was talking about with his church. He's saying, you can't do that. Don't hang on to that. He said, Jesus Christ set us free, but don't use that freedom to sin. And I see people doing it. I've been guilty of it. Well, I know I'm saved and going to heaven. Praise God. I've been forgiven, and I'm going to go over here and do this. I'll just ask God to forgive me. A youth minister I heard one time said he had a couple in the church, a young couple that were dating and were sexually involved, and they came and told him that. And he said, you shouldn't be doing it. Well, don't worry, preacher. We ask for forgiveness every time we do. That's called unrepentance. That's called presumption. And God told Moses, the soul that sins presumptuously, I will cut them off. In other words, if you know it's sin, don't do it. Do not do it. Now, we can sin by mistake, we can sin by spur-of-the-moment thing happening, and we fall into sin, and he will forgive us if we confess and repent. But it doesn't mean I keep doing it over and over and over and over and over, and well, God will forgive me. The Bible talks about overloading God's mercies like overloading a wagon. One day it's going to collapse. Now, I believe this with all my heart. God is a merciful, loving God. But if you push him too far, he can step back and say, nope, nope. I showed you mercy and you spit in my face. Yeah. I always tell myself I'm not going to preach hard, and it seems like I can't keep from it. I must have an attitude problem. Paul said the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, the desires of the spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So that means when you and I come to Christ and we receive the Holy Spirit, we still have that fleshly nature. That's what Paul's saying. I was taught that, well, once you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that fleshly nature is eradicated. Eradicated means dead, it's gone. And I said, no, Paul didn't say that. Paul said, you still got it, and it's a constant struggle. Do you know that being a Christian is done on purpose and with thought? Yeah, with purpose and thought. Where we get in trouble is when we relax and we get complacent. I got this. Paul said, be careful lest you be tempted. That's what he told the Galatians. If somebody's overtaken in a sin, somebody in the church, he said, you restore them gently and be careful because you can be tempted to do the same thing. Wow. You know what that's called? You know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit produces in a person's life? Love. The agape love of God. Now, does that love bring judgment? Sometimes. You remember what happened when Peter was eating with Gentiles in the book of Galatians, and then James and some of them came down from Jerusalem to check on the church, and Peter quit eating with them. And Paul said, even Barnabas got pulled away. And Paul took Peter to tow right in front of the whole church, and he basically said, you're a hypocrite, Peter. He said, we are not Gentile sinners by birth, and you and I believe we're justified by faith, not by the law. Don't you know Peter was standing there looking at his toes, and his face was probably just red as a fire engine, and he didn't have anything to say. And Paul said, Peter, I have been crucified with Christ. Now I live, but not me, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've had some say, well, you know, when you get saved, you just wait on the Holy Spirit and he does all this work. That's not what Paul said. That's not what the apostles taught. That's not what Jesus said. See, these are doctrines of men. As Christian believers, we still have to deal with the fleshly nature, that side of us that wants to do what we want to do. Now, I've told you before, when I was in the world, I'd have people say, I don't see how you could do something like that. You didn't acquire the taste I did. It's called acquired depravity. I did sins none of you would have thought twice about doing. But you did things I wouldn't have thought about doing. But you know what? We were both going to the same place. I had a guy tell me one time, I was a sinner, but I wasn't a scuzzbag like you. And I said, well, that's true, but you and I were going to the same hell. And he called me hippie because I had long hair. I said, imagine that, me and you and this hippie would be standing there shoulder to shoulder in hell. And I thought, if I go to hell, I'm going to make it my point to harass that dude for eternity. Call me a hippie, stinking redneck. Yeah, I still get up in the flesh. Well, we still have that nature we have to deal with. And Paul said it's in conflict with the Spirit, and the Spirit's in conflict with the nature. Why? The Holy Spirit's holy. He's God's Spirit. He's holy. He's here to glorify Jesus Christ. He's here to guide and direct you and I into the purpose and life that God has for us. He's here to clean us up. He's here to make new creations out of us. So yeah, he's going to disagree with our fleshly nature. And church, it is a consent of your free will and my free will that we submit to the Holy Spirit. I had a guy tell me, there is no such thing as free will, it's only God's sovereign will. And if you're saved, it's because God willed for you to be saved. If he didn't will for you to be saved, you're going to hell no matter what you do. I said, where are you getting that? The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says whosoever will. It doesn't say a limited group. Only the group that God chooses and the rest of them don't get to go. It's not what it says. And what Paul's saying to the church is, look, you have a choice to make. And church, that's true for us today. I realize that there are times that there's some things in me that I have not crucified to Jesus Christ. What does Paul mean by that? Crucify it. He's talking about putting it to death. When they took you off that cross, you were dead. D-E-D, dead. Yeah, you weren't going to sin anymore. You weren't going to do anything anymore. And that's the illustration Paul uses in the church. He said, you put that old man to death. Jesus Christ done everything he can. God has done everything he can for us. And now it's up to us to obey him and walk by faith. And we don't do it alone because he's given us the Spirit. That's why Paul said, walk by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of your flesh. What does that mean to walk by the Spirit? In obedience. It means to say, yes, sir. If the Holy Spirit says, don't go there, don't go there. If he says, don't go with her, don't go with her. Don't go with him, don't go with him. If the Spirit says, you need to get rid of this habit, get rid of that habit. If he says, you need to pick up this habit, then pick it up. If he tells you to turn off that television and read the Word, turn off television and read the Word. He is there to form and mold you into the image of Jesus Christ, which is the image that God wants to mold us into. We have to choose who we're going to obey, church. Paul said to the Roman church, "What then, are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound?" He said, "Don't you know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are the slaves of the one whom you obey, whether of sin that leads to death or obedience which leads to righteousness?" Is that a free will choice? This means yes, this means no. Is that a free will choice? Yeah, thank you. Yes, we're all on the same page. You have to choose that. See, God, as I said, God's done everything he can to set us free from sin. If anybody in this room goes to hell, it's because you chose to go. Yeah, I believe that with all my heart. Especially those of you who profess to follow Jesus Christ. If I go to hell, it's my choice. Because I decide to disobey him and obey what I want to do. And that won't get you into heaven. Rules won't get you into heaven. Joining a certain church won't get you into heaven. The only thing that's going to get you into heaven is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he has to be received by faith in what he did. Not your merits, but in his. Paul said, if indeed you continue in the faith, to the Colossian church. See, it was going on in all the churches. Paul was saying, you have been reconciled by the body of Jesus Christ, by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith. I had a guy here got so mad at me about that one time. We were talking, and he was once saved, always saved. And I said, well, the Bible says, if you continue in the faith, made him mad enough. I thought he was going to spit on me. Made him furious. And I said, what is your problem, dude? That's the word of God. That's not my opinion. Your problem is with God, not Rick. He didn't like that either. Telling you, church, the Word of God speaks for itself. And if you have the Holy Spirit, Jesus said he will reveal the truth of the Word to you. You don't have to worry about what other people are saying and trying to teach. You don't have to be tossed back and forth by different doctrines. You'll be settled and established in the truth. And this is the truth. I'm convinced of that. Paul said to the church in Ephesus, put off your old self. He said to the church at Colossae, put to death what is earthly in you. Is that you doing that? This means yes and this means no. You guys act like you're afraid to answer my question. That's not rhetorical. Does that mean that you do it? How do you do that? By the choices you make. How did Jesus do it? Satan said, if you are the Son of God, jump off here, because it's written he'll give his angels charge concerning you, and they'll bear you up in their hands unless you dash your foot against stone. I try to talk too fast, and I can't talk. What did Jesus say? It is written. That doesn't mean the Bible is like a cross you hold up in front of a vampire. When he said it is written, Jesus was saying, this is what God says, this is what I believe, this is the way it's going to be. That's what it means. Yeah. The Bible says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. Resist the devil, and he will flee. He'll take off like a scalded hound with his tail tucked between his legs. See, he has no power over you or me except what we give him. He can't tempt you or me except with our own desires. And that's why Paul is saying to the church, look, put these things to death. Nail them to the cross. They're dead. You go to the cemetery up here, nobody's sinning. I'll guarantee you there's not one person laying in this cemetery that's sinning. And Paul said we're to count ourselves as dead to sin. That is an accounting term. You're to estimate, add up everything Jesus Christ has done for you, and what you should come out with the answer is you're dead to sin. Don't let it have power over you. Do we get weak and stumble? Yes. Do I get weak and stumble? Yes. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. But I'm talking about what Paul was saying to the church. He's saying, look, walk in the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. He read all these acts of the flesh that God's going to condemn folks for. And he said, don't do that. But walk in the Spirit. One translation says, keep in step with the Spirit. See, he's leading. He's the paraclete. That means he, the one who comes along beside of you. He's our advocate. That's the one who speaks in our defense. And he comes alongside and he will walk beside you and say, don't go there. I need you to go here. Don't go over there. You stay away from there. Don't do this. This is what you need to do. And Paul said, keep in step. Don't get behind and don't try to get ahead of him. That's just as bad as getting behind when you try to get ahead of the Lord. You think you got him all figured out? And that doesn't work. He warned the Galatian church then and the church today, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh will reap corruption. That means more than death. Corruption is decay. When a body dies and it decays and decomposes. That's the ugliness that Paul's talking about. This is what sin will do in our lives. It'll cause rottenness and corruption. He said, but the one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. This is the fruit that the Holy Spirit will produce in those of us who choose to obey and follow Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. I want to stop here a minute. I found this very interesting. According to William Barclay, who was a Greek scholar, he said that word patience that Paul used, he was referring to the Romans, the soldiers. Oh, what? And he said, the Roman soldiers refused to make peace with anyone they considered an enemy, even after they were conquered. So they were persistent in their duties and in their objectives. And he said, Paul is saying this to the church, we need to have the same attitude about sin. That perseverance, the King James says long-suffering. The ESV says patience. He said what Paul is saying is we need to be like those soldiers and be determined we are not going to compromise with sin. We're not going to do it. We're going to hold true to the course. And he said the Spirit will produce this in you if you'll listen. I thought that was very interesting. I'm almost done. God bless you. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And Paul said, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And I had to ask myself when I was studying this week, have I done that? Have I totally put to death those things in my fleshly nature that are offensive to God and that will keep me from growing? I don't think I can stand here and say yes 100% before you. Things happen. Sometimes I say things, feel things. And I think, where'd that come from? I thought that was dead. Sometimes if I hit my finger with a hammer and say, shucky darn, I'm like, Lord, I didn't think I'd talk that way anymore. Not boasting. I'm saying it's things like that that make me ask myself that question, have I crucified? Have I put to death those things that offend God? Do I find them as offensive as he does? And the good news is that we who have the Spirit, he will not leave us. He will stay with us. He is patient, and he will work with us and keep working with us. You know, I'm glad God doesn't let me slide. That's dangerous. The Spirit of God will chastise. He'll take you to the spiritual woodshed. And the Bible says he does it because God does not want to judge us with the world. That's mercy. Yeah. Nobody likes chastisement. I don't even remember one time when my dad took off that belt that I said, I thank you, Father, for this that I'm about to receive. That's not what I said. It's like, I won't do it again. He said, I know you won't. Yeah. But you know what? I look back on that now with very fond memories, and I'm very appreciative. He taught me the meaning between right and wrong, and yes and no, and consequences, and yeah. I ain't saying he was perfect, but yeah, we need chastisement, church. And the Bible says if you don't have chastisement from the Holy Spirit, there's only one reason, because you don't belong to him. If you can sin, Christian, and I mean continually sin without any rebuke from the Holy Spirit, it means you don't belong to God. You are not his son. You are not his daughter. And that's what Paul's pointing out to this church. He said, look, no, you can't go back to the old life and prosper. But he also said, but look, the life we now live isn't by the law, it's by the Spirit. And God has placed him within us. God talked to Moses face to face, the Bible says. He talks to you and I heart to heart. He speaks to us only where he can. When I first came back to this church and I said something about God spoke to me, I seen everybody just freak plumb out and look at one another like, oh my God, he's a cult leader. I don't have burning bush experiences. God speaks to me here. He speaks to me through the Word. That's how he wants to speak to you. I'm not claiming to hear an audible voice or seeing visions of angels. People that do that freak me out, and I have to question what they're saying. Yeah. God will speak to you here. He will lead you and instruct you. He loves you so much that he wants to keep you from evil. But your responsibility is, when evil has been revealed in your heart, is to nail it to that cross and say, Lord, I'm done with this. It's dead. Would you stand with me this morning? Somebody will say, this isn't easy. I never read anywhere in Scripture where Jesus said, hey, come follow me. It's a breeze. You'll never have any problems. You'll never have any doubts. You'll never have any opposition. That's not what he said. He said, if you follow me, you're going to suffer a lot of grief, a lot of tribulation. But he said, if you follow me to the end, you're going to be saved. Let the Lord mold you into that person he wants you to be. Take correction when you need to take it. Cry out to him. Bawl, whatever it is you got to do. But follow him with all your heart.